Fellowship, prayer, and commitment to the poor. Those were the three guiding principles which inspired a small group of Rome's high school students in the late 1960s as political upheavals were sparking unrest across Europe and beyond. Keen to put a Catholic face on this movement for change in the wake of the Second Vatican Council, these students formed a community focused on prayer, on living out the gospel, and on supporting the poorest, most marginalised people living on the streets or in the rundown suburbs, so far from the Dolce Vita for which this city was renowned at that time. More than four decades on, those same founding principles remain at the heart of the St. Egidio community today. Housed in an abandoned Carmelite convent in Trastevere, which became a headquarters as the community began to grow, the organisation is now present in over 70 countries worldwide, with more than 60,000 members working to promote reconciliation, peace and a radically different approach to problems of poverty, homelessness, youth violence or crime control. While the community has made a name for itself internationally, helping to bring warring parties together in countries like Mozambique, Ivory Coast, or more recently Niger and Guinea-Conakry, here in Rome, the daily unsung work of providing a hot meal, a prison visit, or just a kind word to those on the margins of society continues, as does the daily prayer service in the Basilica of Santa Maria in Trastevere, now attended by some 250,000 visitors each year. So what is the secret of the community's success in countries and cultures so very different from the mother house here in Rome? What have been the most significant developments and the moments of difficulty over recent decades? And above all, what is it that still attracts young men and women to such a community life of prayer and service, just as those first high school students led by Andrea Riccardi came together to change the world almost half a century ago?
It is fascinating to grow up in a family which is so large. And I had the chance to know the world, to know people, to have a glimpse on every event of the history of what happening around me with the eyes of the community.
Carlo Pensa is a long-time member of the Saint Egidio community and is now in charge of public relations at the headquarters here in Rome. He sat down with my colleague Luca Attanasio to talk about the history and the spirit of the community today.
I would say that if I had to think of one key word, I would suggest the expression that John Paul II used to Professor Riccardi, the founder of the community, just after the collapse of the wall in wall of Berlin in 1989. And he said, we did not pray in vain in Assisi. You remember he was quoting the event of 1986. I think that this is the key word of the history of the community. Walking through history and through the changes of history, how many changes in these years, with the Bible, with the scripture, with the prayer, and with the love for the poor. In this way, I think that we could be a subject who potentially could change the world. We did not pray in vain in Assisi.
You mentioned Assisi, which was for the Universal Church, as well for the community, a key moment. So let's talk now a bit about the key moment, the turning points of the community of Sant'Egidio all along this long history, as well as the hardships, the moments where the community had to face big problems.
Yeah. Well, let me say, at the very beginning, the community of Sant'Egidio, as you know, was born in Rome, and for many years the community has been a Roman community. An alive community of Christians, lay Christians, rooted in the life of the city, in the life of the town. But, as you know, being born in Rome and being Christian in Rome, Rome is a universal town, it means that sooner or later you had to support the challenges of the world. And I think that the first moment, of the first turning point, was when we was struck by the death of Monsignor Romero. This was the first moment where the community tried to think about its action as a universal action. And I think that the second turning point connecting to this, of course, as you know, was this the successful peace process for Mozambique. When we realized that a simple Christian community could be an important subject in working for peace, even in diplomatic phase of a peace process, and this was an enormous turning point for the community. Of course, being a subject working for peace, this does not mean that every action of the community has been successful. And I think, for example, that a very critical moment was when we decided to do something for Algeria. And as many people know, that the mediation in Algeria in 1994, 1999 was not successful. And we pay tribute to critics to a sort of a failure. But, you know, I think that we were right to start this action, because we would never be satisfied with a country who was, you know, in troubles, and this country was very close to the community for many reasons. And we tried. It was not successful, but in the long term, the results of what we realized that time, in a way, was important.
Giancarlo, the community's anniversary coincides with the beginning of the year. So what would you say about the achievements, for instance, of the last year, and what are the main goals for the year to come?
If I have to quote a couple of events of the last year past and put them as a symbol of what we realized last year and what we are trying to do for the future, I think about first of the new program for birth registration for children in Africa. Bravo. Birth registration again versus all oblivion. This is a very important achievement for the community. It's a big, big project. We started from Burkina Faso and we registered last year more than 2 million people. As you know, this is to prevent the violence against children, because if you are a not registered child in for your country, you are exposed to every kind of violence, and it's very easy to be children living in the streets and abandoned and so on. So this is one fact very important. Well, the second is the peace process in Guinea-Conakry. In July, we realized a very important agreement between all the parties, political parties in Guinea-Conakry. It was a very important thing because, you know, that one of the most moments of the political crisis in Africa now is the democratic transition of many countries. You know, it was, for the Guinea, it was the first democratic elections. And the problem is that everyone is scared about what can happen in this democratic transition. And what we have done is to gather all the political parties in Guinea and sign an agreement to say, okay, stop, decide about the future of your country before the election and prevent any kind of violence after the election. So who will win? Recognize the democracy, the role of the opposition, but in the meanwhile, the opposition recognize the victory of one party. I add that this is you know, a Muslim country. So it's very important the fact that a Muslim country choose the community of Sant'Egidio, community, a Christian community, to be the mediator of this process. Another sign of this year is that thanks to the work for the community in against the death penalty, an important resolution in the United Nations has been taken. And I would say also that Japan and Texas, two states that are under the threat of the death penalty, the last year in these two states, we had the lowest number of the death penalty during this last year. So it's another concrete result of the community. We don't forget Rome. The community is in Rome, is a large, very large community, and rooted in, especially in the suburbs of Rome. And I would say that last year we had a very important action against violence the urban violence, which is growing up, unfortunately. We were very struck by a fact that happened, you know, in a part of a suburb of Rome, where a woman was walking in the station of an underground and was struck by an Italian, a boy, who slapped her, and she fallen down and she died. We are very concerned about this violence of the streets, and we think that this violence of the streets are a challenge for the future of our cities. I would say not only in Rome, I think especially the big cities, the big town in Latin America. And we are the place where this event has happened. We transformed it in a sort of sanctuary of prayer, of reflection, and many initiatives were done in this station of the underground against violence, and many people participated, because I think that people is really, really tired of violence.
Once Andrea Riccardi, the founder of the community, said that the community of Sant'Egidio is essentially an African community, but at the same time you've got communities all over the world, in Latin America, in Asia. So what does connect a guy in Guinea-Conakry, for instance, as you mentioned before, to a girl in El Salvador or another member in Indonesia?
I think the same spirit. It could be a simple answer, but it is true. And how we preserve this unique spirit, I think that we have clear what the community is in the life of the different countries of the world. First of all, every member of the community is committed for poor, for a link with poor people, a personal link with poor people. And the work for poor, the promotion of the rights of the poor, which means children abandoned, which means elderly left alone, which means disabled people, and so on, is something that unifies the community everywhere. And the prayer. The spirit of the prayer, every night, every community of Sant'Egidio is gathered for pray. And this is, of course, one thing that unified us. But I would say also the spirit, which is a spirit against the division, just to promote the coexistence of the different people. I think that this is one of the big, big challenge for 2011 and for the decade, I would say.
When one listens about the community of Sant'Egidio, thinks of a big organization or a big umbrella of organizations, but maybe one may easily forget that there is, first of all, a personal involvement, a personal story of each member of the community. So what's your story? Why did you join the community, and why you have decided to live your life?
Well, I'm 52 now. Mm. I knew the community when I was 15, 16. I was a student in the secondary school in Rome. Well, I grew up with the community. It's impossible to tell the story in few words, but this is the sign that the community is my life. The community is my family. I think that the community is a family of families, and is a family of people who don't have a family. So I grew up with the community, and I had the chance to know the world, to know people, to have a glimpse on every event of the history of what happening around me with the eyes of the community. And I think that this is the most important thing for me. And I think it's fascinating to grow up in a family which is so large, and which have, as you said, is a glimpse as an umbrella that covers many, many countries of the world.
The international work of the community of Sant'Egidio really took root in Central America in the wake of the assassination of Archbishop Oscar Romero in March 1980, a man who had come to symbolize the church's preferential option for the poor, even at the cost of his own life.
The people here in Rome joined the idea to start something in our country because of the violence for the civil war.
Mariella Galliano from San Salvador tells Luca Atanasio more about the work of the organization there today.
At the beginning, it was a small group that everybody was studying at the university. At first, the community wasn't free because it was so dangerous at the middle of the war. The first service was the School of Peace.
And now, where is the community based in your country?
At the beginning, we were only in San Salvador, in the capital. At the end, when the community, now the community is more mature, is trying to go to other cities outside the capital.
Now the war is over,
yes.
But still there is much violence. So what is the meaning of working in such a violent country?
The major problem in our country is the violence. It's like a track left by the civil war, because many young people that were in the United States came to El Salvador and started a new group of meeting of young people who were gathered in the streets and start doing violent actions. And these groups are like mafias, but in our country we call them maras. So the community is working with these boys and young people. And we were working more hard since the murder of a friend called William, who lived in a city with such problems with the maras.
William was a member of the community of Sant'Egidio and was murdered when he was only, how old was he?
21 years old.
So what is your dream? What do you want to change in your society with the community?
Okay, the community is working so hard, and our dream is free our country from these kind of groups that make many violent actions. We want a new country. We want a place where everyone can be safe. Everyone can live or dream near the poor people.
One of the more recent countries where the community of Sant'Egidio has taken root is Malawi in East Africa, where despite recent economic progress, problems of poverty, AIDS and natural disasters continue to hamper development efforts. Community leader Francis Kafumbwe talks with Luca about what it means to be of service to the poor in a country like his own.
Yeah, the story of the community of Sant'Egidio in my country, Malawi, is that it is a fruit from the first Pan-African Congress, which was in 1999. This was a meeting of which members of the community were meeting from different countries, more especially Mozambique. But by then the community was not yet started in Malawi. So some friends of ours from three parishes were invited to know about the community.
So you met the community in 1999?
In 1999, but after those people who went to meet the community, they brought the news to us.
How old were you?
By then I was 18 years old.
Very young.
Very young.
And why did you decide to join the community?
This is a very good question, because when I was joining the community, I think it was just like the work of the spirit, because by then, as I've already said, it was a new thing. We received it because they were explaining about the involvement of, working as Christians, communicating the gospel through service. Because most of by then we were thinking that maybe it's only somebody to stand on the altar and preach, you know. But when the committee was introduced to us, we saw that it was part of preaching, but in a practical way, you know, to visit the sick, to chat with the children, to do service of the elderly.
Francis, now you are a grown-up man, you've got a family. So what is to leave the community, being a lay person in a country which is one of the poorest in the world?
Yes, exactly. As you know, the phenomenon or the mentality of the world is that when you are poor, you cannot assist. So with the community, it has given us a different, culture of living together, even though we are poor. There's nobody who is so poor that he cannot assist. So this has helped, the society in my country to understand that friendship, love, and living together as a family, as a core point and as an important thing.
You are one, you as a community in Malawi, are one of the last fruits. You came many years after. So what do you take from the community mother in Rome? You are now here in Rome. What do you take from this long history?
This is one of the, importance and the privilege to the community of Malawi to come some years later, because we are able to witness that whenever we are told peace, it's possible to be in peace, it's possible to fight poverty, it's possible to live together as a family. We have witnessed in these years that it has been possible in Mozambique to have peace. It has been possible in Malawi for the youth to start loving the elderly people. Because to be sincere, before meeting the community, the youth were living as the youth. There was like divisions, but the community has assisted the community of Malawi and even the youth of Malawi as a country, to start living together without boundaries. The community has helped us to break all the boundaries, to bridge the gap between the elderly and the children, even to live together as a family.
What is the meaning and the prophetical role of a community in the poorest continent of the world?
The prophetic meaning is to give hope. To give hope for the poor and to understand that being poor is not a sin. Being poor is not like a burden. But what is more important is that to love one another, you cannot notice the poverty in somebody, because you live together in joy.
Africa continues to be a major focus of the St. Egidio community today, with new groups still being set up to promote the gospel values of reconciliation and service. Gomolemo Bogwathile is one of the founding members of the very young St. Egidio community in South Africa. She describes the key role the organization can play in the post-apartheid nation today.
The community of St. Egidio in South Africa was born in July 2006. From a visit of a friend from Rome called Father Giorgio Ferretti. He came to visit us in South Africa and explained what the community was about. And from then, we started with a small group of a few of my friends. We started to pray together, which is the center of the community. And then later on, we started the School of Peace, which is a service for the children in a quarter in Johannesburg that is very poor. It has a lot of immigrants, but also poor South Africans living there. Then from there, 2 years later, we grew, we started to invite more people, more students, and then we started a service also to the homeless people. So every Tuesday we go on the streets of Johannesburg and we look for homeless people. We offer them our friendship and our support, and then we offer them also something to eat. The community today is in 4 cities in South Africa. It's in Johannesburg, in Polokwane, in Pretoria, and in Durban. In Johannesburg, we've grown, now we are about 50 members in the community of Johannesburg.
So what is that made you start a community of St. Egidio? What did appeal to you?
What appealed to me was the service to the poor. Because when we were listening to Father Giorgio Ferretti, he touched me when he spoke about the love of the community for the poor. That's what attracted me to the community, and I thought it was a good thing to start in Johannesburg.
Were you a Catholic, a believer before you met the community?
I was a Catholic, yes, yeah. Going to Mass every Sunday, but nothing more.
All right. Yes. So this changed your perspective as a believer.
Exactly. Because before I met the community, for instance, for me, Christianity was about going for Mass on Sunday. But from the community, I've learned that to be a Christian means to your heart is involved in the whole thing. And it's not just something that you live once a week. It's something that you live every day in the everyday choices that you make in your life.
Now, let's talk a little bit about the post-apartheid political situation in your country. and also the meaning of a small but growing community in such a troubled society?
I would say post-apartheid, in the country we are people who we have different backgrounds, and post-apartheid we're given freedom and unity, but we really don't know how to live together. In essence, we're not given a structure of how we can put in practice this living together. So for me, the community has been something that proposes this idea of living together amongst different people. And it's very beautiful because in the community of Johannesburg, for instance, we are people from different races, because you know that the race issue is very sensitive in South Africa. And often people do not mix the different races because we see ourselves still separated. But in the community, we've learned to overcome that and to see the beauty in other people who are different from us.
Are there whites in your community?
Yes, yes. And Indians and coloreds and blacks. So it's very beautiful and very important for my country.
After apartheid finished, as you were saying, problems unfortunately are not over, and you've been facing a growing number of big social problems, such as homelessness, or such as racism or xenophobia. Can you tell us a bit about this and also what you do as a community to tackle the problem?
Okay. The problem of homelessness is that in recent years, we've seen that the number of people who live on the streets is growing, mostly also because of immigrants that are coming into South Africa from Zimbabwe, from Mozambique, from Malawi, but from Zambia as well, and a lot from Congo and Somalia. So a lot of immigrants are coming into South Africa, and when they arrive, life is very difficult because they cannot find jobs. It's very difficult for them to live in a normal sense. So they end up living on the streets. In our community, we've started a service for the homeless people, for instance. So every Tuesday, we walk around, we look for them, and we visit them, we sit with them, we get to know their names, just to humanize the situation. Because on the streets of Johannesburg, mostly the homeless are despised. They are people who are considered to make the city dirty. So often people say we are cleaning up the city. This means to be violent towards the homeless and to get rid of them. For instance, we've got a lot of problems with our homeless friends who are often interrogated by the authorities, by the police, and by your normal civilians on the streets. So it's a very big problem, but the community has been a sign of something different, because even when we go to visit the homeless, people are often surprised because they see us going to the homeless and they think, but what do these people want from these useless people who are making our streets dirty? And then we've got another problem of xenophobia, because as people come in from different countries, there's a phenomenon that goes around the city that people who come from other countries come to steal the jobs of South African, they come to impoverish us. But in the community, we've communicated a different idea, because for instance, in the School of Peace for the children at the School of Peace are mostly from immigrant families who are in South Africa now. And during the xenophobic attacks, where the South African nationals went on a rampage and attacked the foreign nationals, we, the School of Peace for the community of Sant'Egidio, continued. And it was a sign of hope, not only for us, but even for the children who come from other countries. It communicated something that was beautiful, something of welcoming them and of peace.
My thanks there to Luca Atanasio, who was talking to Gomolemo Boguathile, to Francis Kafumbwe, to Mariella Galeano, and to Carlo Pensa of the Sant'Egidio community. You're listening to Vatican Radio. Laudato Jesus Christus.